Careful, don't be dropping cars, Mom.
Oh, that was him. Oh, see how it is? Always blaming the other. Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, my dear friends in Christ. We'll talk a little bit about wrestling today. You ever notice that wrestlers, they kind of wear funny outfits, don't they? Yeah? I mean, maybe to them it seems like baseball players and gymnasts wear funny-looking clothes, but wrestlers, now the ones in high school and college and the Olympics, now not the WWE embarrassment that's on TV, but you know, the classical wrestling, the funny clothes, and they grab and hold each other in strange, even awkward ways sometimes, and you get points for not for beating your opponent, but for putting them in a position where they can't beat you. It's kind of like chess in that way. Now, I've never been a wrestler myself, and I can't say that I've really ever been to that many wrestling competitions as a spectator, but I can respect wrestlers and the sport they engage in, even with the funny clothes and strange holds. Wrestling, it might be said, is the oldest and most fundamental of all sports. It's pure control of your body. The strongest doesn't always win, necessarily. But it's about using the strength that you have, along with your mind, your training, your experience, to methodically outmaneuver your opponent. And so I've always found it kind of interesting and intriguing that early in the story of God's relationship with the family of Abraham, there comes this event of Jacob wrestling with God. Jacob is Abraham's grandson, remember. Jacob's father is Isaac, and Isaac is the son of Abraham. And for all of the hopes and dreams that God pours into Abraham about descendants, as many as the stars, and a nation that will shine like a beacon on a hill, the productivity and the success of Abraham's family toward accomplishing these goals is actually quite disappointing. By the time we get to Jacob in the story, we kind of wonder if any of them are going to amount to anything. Jacob isn't even the elder son of Isaac. And yet, partly because of his own lies and deception, but also because Esau, his brother, reasoned more with his stomach than his brain, Jacob seems to be the heir apparent to this plan of God's, this covenant. But God needs to step in and make a few things clear for Jacob. You see, Jacob has found himself in a bit of a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, Jacob is the most successful of any in Abraham's tribe so far. He has 4 wives and 11 children at least that we know of at this time. Flocks and servants and wealth that his parents and grandparents likely could only imagine. Only he has this unfinished business with his brother Esau. Years ago, he had not only tricked Esau into trading his birthright for a pot of beans, but Jacob also deceived their father into granting him the blessing that should have been the elder brother's. And to make a long story short, while Jacob has much that he can call fame and success, his personal relationships have suffered greatly. So this is the setting for Jacob when he spends the night on the banks of the Jabbok River. And it's into this powerful but broken man, Jacob, that a stranger presents himself as an opponent in an all-night wrestling match. And I don't know how it is that Jacob was able to hold his own with this stranger who we come to understand is actually God Almighty. I don't know where Jacob learned to to wrestle in such a way as to put God in a hold clever enough to make God come this close to tapping out. But I believe that the message here for us is that God isn't interested in our success or our fame or our status in life, and God knows how deep down we hide our feelings of insecurity, shame, and fear. In fact, despite our privilege and our shame, God shows up to us in the crossroads of our lives and wrestles with us until the break of day, if that's what it takes, and that's often what it takes, in order to bless us, even in our arrogance, even in our pain. God had made a promise to Abraham way back in chapter 12, two generations before Jacob. And this strange wrestling match, I think, is God making good on his promise not to back out of the deal, but to go to the mat with every bit of courage and tenacity it takes to keep this family in the game, to keep the promise of Abraham and his descendants forever. Do you wrestle with questions about your life? Of course you do. We all do. Do you struggle to understand just what God wants from you and the gifts that you've been given, the status that you've attained, the role that you've come to be recognized for? I mean, teachers have these young minds that they've been blessed to shape and form. And home builders have to make sure that their construction doesn't fall in on a family in the middle of the night. And surgeons, my gosh, they poke around in people's brains and they cut into people's vital organs. And teenagers have to come up with what they're going to do with their lives. And politicians and community leaders need to work for justice and peace in their neighborhoods and in the world. I mean, not to be overly dramatic, but we got a lot of weight on our shoulders. And you add to that the doubts and the questions we ask ourselves about our own abilities or our unworthiness. It's no wonder that we spend billions a year on antidepressant medications, although for many of us it can really make a difference. But God shows up to Jacob. God shows up on that night on the shores of the Jabbok River, not to give Jacob a pep talk, not to psychoanalyze Jacob, certainly not to give him a prescription, but to wrestle with him, to match him wit for wit, hold for hold, mind for mind. I wonder why we assume sometimes that God stands far off from us, away from the messiness of our own lives, as if we're supposed to fake it until we make it, or completely fall apart and then bring the pieces of our lives and lay them as a broken pile in front of God's feet. Is it our stubbornness or our piety that makes us think that we need to get our act together before we can imagine that God will give us the time of day? I've been thinking a lot about some of the opportunities that we have here that have opened themselves up to us lately here at Bethlehem. Opportunities like developing the land around us, possibly in connection with a partner like Abbey Shelter. We talked about that at our recent town hall meetings. If you didn't get a chance to be there, let us fill you in one of these days. And opportunities like bringing on a new staff member to share with Eidsvold and us for the purpose of diving deep into a shared community, showing our world that being Lutheran means more than gathering in a building, either here or in Summers, but instead lifting up our neighbors to share in the blessing of God. And it's easy for us to believe that we have to make these things happen on our own, that we have to come up with a grand plan that makes us look good in the eyes of God, and then God will bless us. It's also easy to give in to our fears and our insecurities and not step out in faith because it might mean losing something or because we might fail. And then what would people think? In specific ways, in the life of this congregation, but also in ways similar to almost every season of our lives, we are in a place very much like Jacob's. We are on the banks of a river, ready to cross over and face some of the toughest realities in our world. We know we have resources. We have some wealth. We have some manner of reputation. And we have a faith that we trust. And yet the night is dark. But God is going to show up. Even now, God is with us. God is wrestling with us to remind us that God didn't bring us this far to let us sleep the night away. God hasn't given us the blessing of gifts that each of us possess, and wealth, and prayer, and dreams, just to let us get up in the morning and see what might happen. And it's not easy. This wrestling with God is not easy. Aside from the funny outfits and awkward holds, wrestlers will tell you that it's a whole body effort. Wrestlers say that they use every muscle, plus their eyes and their sense of balance and their minds. And we have resources that the rest of the world doesn't recognize, too. Just to touch on the gospel story today, the point can be made that this woman, this widow, is severely underestimated by the judge in Jesus' story. The judge assumes that he can sleep the night away and continue to ignore this poor woman because he thinks he has all the power. But the woman isn't afraid to rattle the judge out of bed at night, to pound on his door, or to keep on bringing her complaint, because she knows that she deserves to be heard. God is pounding on our door. God is wrestling with us through the night. God is expecting justice from us, who have been given the power and the wealth and the respect of our community, even if it means reminding us that we are afraid, insecure, and ashamed. For Jacob walks with a limp now. Now that he's wrestled with God, because you don't encounter the Lord of heaven and earth without being a little bit changed. Change is sometimes hard to live with. But in the morning when Jacob limped across the river to meet his brother, he did so as a man aware of his blessings and his failings. We too, in our personal lives, meet our challenges in life, trusting that God has blessed us abundantly and also forgiven us completely. And this congregation as well has been both blessed and forgiven. So let us step out in faith to meet the reality of a world that challenges us, sometimes scares us, but through which God has promised to bless us. And bless us to be a blessing. Amen.